Today, I hope that we will allow God's Spirit to help us learn from the life of Hannah. I'm sure you've read about Hannah at some point. Possibly, though, you're new to church, or maybe this is your first time to go to church, and you have no idea who Hannah is. You remember somebody named Hannah in high school, but you don't know who Hannah is from the Bible. I'm glad you've come today to join us at Anchor Baptist Church, because today we're going to learn from her life, and I hope that it will be a help and encouragement, and even, as it has been recently in my life, a challenge along a very theme that seems to be very much a part of our hearts and lives, and I hope that continues until we come to meet with Jesus. 1 Samuel chapter number 1, and we're going to read, let's see here, we're going to start off in verse number 1, and then we'll work our way down to verse 10. Now, there, and join me on every other verse. Did I give you the right passage this week? I gave you the wrong one last week, I heard. 1 Samuel, did I say that right? I didn't say 2 Samuel, okay. 1 Samuel chapter number 1, verse 1. Join me on every other verse, please. Now, there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Eli, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? Boy, that's quite the question there, wasn't it? Oh, boy. Let's just keep reading. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to open God's word. And today, Father, we want you to open our hearts to the truth, and we want you to mold us and make us and remake us and rework our even our thinking today from your word. And God, please be glorified in it is our prayer. Thank you for this meeting thus far, and I pray for the one that's listening right now that is not saved, that you would bring them to yourself, that today would be the day of their salvation. As we sang earlier, come Holy Spirit, we need you to fill us in this hour to listen, to speak, to apply. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. We'll let you be seated. Today, we look into the pages of the Word of God, and we find a lady. We find not just a lady, but we find a lady who wants to be a mother, but we find in her a very wise investor, a wise investor. And that's what we're going to speak about this morning for a little bit, the wise investments in the life of Hannah, the wise investments in the life of Hannah. When you think about a wise investment, we can begin to immediately think about investments in the stock market, in retirement, in whatever it may be, stocks and bonds and so forth and so on. And that's not what we're talking about, okay? We're not talking about investments in that way, but there is that type of investment that we could think of, because it helps us to consider the word investment, because when we invest in something, what we are wanting from that investment is we are wanting to have a dividend. We're wanting to have something come from the investment of value. And that's exactly the case, whether it be in the stock market, but more importantly, in our own personal lives. And I want to encourage you today to consider just what it is that you are investing in. What are we investing in? We're going to look at Hannah's life. You know, in the investment world, they will use terms like portfolio. What does Hannah's portfolio look like? We read a little bit about it in the beginning of her journey, at least where God wanted us to learn about. But we're going to examine today that this dear lady brings forth a great investment of faith. Our theme this year is strong in faith, giving God the glory. And I see in her a woman of great faith. Let's look at several things. Number one, Hannah made a wise investment in her family. A wise investment in her family. She had great circumstances to overcome. They weren't the easiest. One of those circumstances that she had to overcome was the fact that her husband had another wife. That's not God's plan, by the way. Genesis 2, 23 and 24 tell us that Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And they, husband and wife, not husband and wives, shall be one flesh." And so this was obviously a problem. You say, this was allowed by God. Yes, you know, God allows things to happen that God doesn't condone. You know, a lot of things happened in the last week that God did not condone, but they happened. Why? Sin. We talked about that earlier in the first hour, if you missed it. You know, a lot of bad things happen every week in the world. But it wasn't because God ordained it to happen. It's because mankind has turned his back on God over and over and over and over again. And it's out of our mind and out of my mind what man can do when God has no control in his life. And so that's exactly what's happening here. This wasn't God's plan. This wasn't God's design for marriage. But this is what it was in Hannah's life. She invested in spite of a very difficult time to be in. She invested, and the difficulty was that there was another wife. Then, not only that, but we see in Hannah's life that she invested in her family in spite of the fact that Hannah was barren. The Bible tells us that she had no children in verse number 2. No children. Not having children in this day of the Bible was looked on. And again, I know that I might be speaking to someone today who is married but has no children or never did have children and won't be having children of their own. And so I carefully say these things, and I don't mean to be unkind in any way. And if you know me, you know my heart on that matter. But in this day and age, in Hannah's day and age, to not have a child, you as a woman were looked at, she was looked at as a failure. This was the stigmatism of her day. And of course, as a woman, she wanted to have a child. But on top of that, there was the pressure, and in fact, it was so bad in this day that a husband was permitted to divorce a woman who could not or would not or was not able to have children. Now, we think that's wrong. Yes, that's wrong. But that's the day and age in which Hannah was living. And so when you think about Hannah's investing in her family, I mean, think about it today. She had there was two wives, she didn't have any children, and yet we see that Hannah, in spite of all of this, Hannah invested in her family. Oh, I praise God today for ladies that invest in their family, for not only mothers, but all ladies who are investing in their family, whether it be their own family or whether it be the family of God. I want to encourage all of you today, we must not stop investing in the family. We must not stop investing time. We must not stop investing our prayers. It doesn't matter how bleak the situation is. Investing in the family always, in the power of God, always reaps dividends. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That doesn't mean that he will always stay in the things of God. It means that right there in his head, there is a remembrance of a time where the mother was praying and the Bible was being read in the church house, and they were there. And we've even learned in that in recent days with RU and Steve Currington and how he went away from God but came back to God and all that God did in his life. I'm just saying, and we heard that his mother had been praying for him. We learned about that this week. Oh, dear mothers, today you're listening and you have a wayward son, you have a wayward daughter. Don't stop praying for them. Dads, you're listening today and you have a son or a daughter that's away from God, maybe not even saved. I want to challenge you and encourage you. Look at Hannah's situation. I'm telling you what, everything was against being able to invest in the family. And yet we see in Hannah's testimony someone who invested in the family in spite of so many situations that were against her. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse number 11, would you turn over there quickly? Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse number 11. God's plan for your life and God's plan for my life may not look to be very good right now. God's plan for Hannah's life in the current place where we stopped reading, it wasn't good, at least in Hannah's view. But yet God was working something. God was preparing something. And by the way, we're coming in this part of the Bible, we're coming down to the end of the judges. The time of the end of the judges. And something unique would happen with her son. Well, I gave it away if you don't know what happened with Samuel or with Hannah, but we'll come to that. But God's plan for Hannah was right where God wanted it to be. You know, I believe today wholeheartedly, Jeremiah 29, if you're there, just hang on, we'll be there. I believe God's plan that is for your life and for my life is right where God wants it to be. Keep investing in the will of God. Keep investing in what God has for you. Don't stop investing. Don't quit investing in the family. Maybe you're the only one in your family. Maybe like your immediate family. Don't stop investing in your family. You have unsaved siblings. Keep praying for them. You have unsaved parents. Keep praying for them. You're involved in the Anchor Baptist Church. Stay involved because it's a family. And so whether you have children of your own, you're a part of it. I don't know what the number is, and I probably wouldn't tell you anyway. But we have a good number of kids practicing all the distancing and all that, but we're staying together, serving the Lord, trying to help the next generation. It's vital that we continue to invest in the family. By the way, I want to thank you parents and of teens and kids for supporting these afternoon clubs. It's incredible. And I mean that. We have tables for family members only, and then we have tables and the kids are separated. We're trying to do everything we can to abide by exactly what's asked of us. I heard we have several young people that are just about ready to be teenagers. In September, they're going to be transferring over, and a good number of them already have a sibling over there. You know what that means? That means they get to sit next to their sibling, really close together. Some of them are brothers and sisters. They don't just get to sit together at home, and they probably don't even sit together at home that close. But at teen club, it's going to be shoulder to shoulder with your sister. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stay with the message. All right. She invested in the family. She invested in the family. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, the Bible says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." Isn't that an amazing statement? Have you ever just meditated on that? God says to Jeremiah, but he also says it to us, I know what I'm doing. I know the thoughts I have toward you. Look what are the thoughts God has. Hey, what are the thoughts God has toward you today? Here it is, peace. Isn't that great? I mean, this should help you. You should underline that. You should memorize this verse. You should write this reference down. Not of evil. God doesn't have thoughts of evil toward you. God doesn't have thoughts of evil toward me. No, he's got thoughts of peace. And I love the last phrase of the verse, to give you an expected end. What does that mean? God already knows the end for you. God already knows what's coming this week. God knows what's in the plans for my life this week and onward and onward. It's not a surprise to him. It's expected for him. He's thinking thoughts of peace. And so when Hannah was at the situation in her life, it was a very desperate time. It could be a very discouraged time in Hannah's life where she could have just said, that's it. My husband, he asked me stupid questions like, aren't I better than 10 sons? I mean, what a question. Amen, ladies? Come on now. And yet, she stayed at it. She stayed at it. She invested in her family. But notice number two. By the way, let me just add a PS to that. Sometimes the investment in the family doesn't pay off immediately. Don't stop investing. Stay at it. God's not finished yet. Hannah made a wise investment in her family. Number two, Hannah made a wise investment in her faith. In her faith. Look at verse number 10 of chapter 1. Hannah, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord. Might want to note that word, prayed. She prayed unto the Lord. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Chapter 2. Go down to verse 15. Chapter 1, verse 15. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, notice, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Verse 10 says she prayed unto the Lord. Verse 15 says she poured out her soul before the Lord. Verse 17, then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. What is prayer? Prayer is asking. So in verse 17, we see that she asked of him. She asked of God. Chapter 2, verse 1. And Hannah prayed. And Hannah prayed. You find that you see the pattern here? Hannah is a woman of prayer. Hannah gets it. She could pour out her soul to any number of people. She could pour out her soul to Elkanah. She could pour out her soul to the servants. She could pour out her soul to anybody. But who does she pour out her soul to? She pours it out to the one true God. And the Bible says that Hannah prayed, and this is, by the way, this isn't just for ladies today. This is for everyone. That we learn from this lady of great faith that we have a God who says, pour out your soul to me. Pour out your heart to me. I'm more than capable of meeting the need. I'm more than capable of taking care of the situation. Come to me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Bible says that Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. And of course, this is following God's answer to prayer. I submit to you today that Hannah made a wise investment in her faith. Hannah was a woman of prayer. Hannah was a woman of praise. Hannah was openly active in the practice of her faith. Hannah was someone who it would be clearly known, at least it was to everybody except Eli, who when she was praying so fervently and so intently to the Lord and pouring out her soul, as she says to the Lord, it was evident to everybody, should have been evident to the priest. And yet he accused her of being a little bit tipsy, if you will. What an accusation. Not funny really at all. But most people would have known this woman is praying. This woman is trying to get a hold of the God of heaven. This was an indication of her faith. In verse 15, again, I emphasize, I have poured out my soul to the Lord. Her faith was personal. It wasn't the faith of only her father and her mother or whoever her family. It was her faith. And her faith could be observed. And I want to encourage us today, is our faith so personal that people know we're a Christian? Somebody gave a testimony recently that was about an opportunity that God gave them on the workforce to testify about the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? Our faith needs to be personal. We don't need to be incognito. We don't need to be, trying to be disguised as a Christian. No, we want it to be known that God is our Heavenly Father. Jesus Christ is our Savior, and the Holy Spirit indwells us. It is a faith that is personal. Look at chapter 1 and verse 20. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel. God answered Hannah's prayer. By the way, God is still answering prayers today. She conceived and bare a son named Samuel. She said, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. And then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. It was a personal faith. It was a faith that not only was seen by her family and seen by those maybe even around her, but it was a genuine faith. And always, always, it was for God's glory. She wanted God's glory. She wanted God to be blessed. She wanted God to be lifted up. Hannah made a wise investment. What are we investing in? You know, we have 168 hours in a week. How much of that week is being invested in what matters most? What matters most, by the way, to you? That's a good question, isn't it? You know what should matter most to the believer is our walk with God. Our walk with God. What does a walk with God look like, Pastor Turner? Well, you know, you have a Bible right there, do you? You have a Bible? This is God imprint. God imprint. Meaning that if you open this book up, you are opening up the mind of God. You will learn about God. You will learn about the love of God. You will learn about the power of God. You will learn about the will of God. You will learn about how God works and how God operates. We will not understand completely God until we get to heaven. But that's why God gave us His Word. God gave us His Word so that we could read it every day. We could walk in it every day. And greater than that, as a Christian, as a believer, God put a part of God in us. That's called the Holy Spirit. In you dwells the Holy Spirit of God. And so when you're reading the Word of God, indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, who is the author of the Word of God, we can understand God in a greater way. And our walk with God involves getting in this book every day. This has to be priority. I must, as a believer, as a disciple, I've got to invest. You can't even imagine the dividends that come with investing in this book. There is no price tag that can be given on the interest that it is received spending time in the Word of God. It is out of this world. It is beyond, it can't be calculated, it is incalculable. There's no way of putting a number on it. And I want to encourage you today, have time, invest time in God's Word. Walk with God in His Word. Let God's Word get into you. That we begin to think like God. If not, we're not God, but we begin to think as God wants us to think. That our mind is constantly renewed day by day. Boy, what has so many minds been captivated with since March of last year? So many minds have been captivated and encompassed by fear. I'm not to fear anything but God. That doesn't mean we live our lives haphazardly. No, it means we fear God and keep His commandments. And the blessings of God always follow obedience. Hannah's someone whose faith was clearly seen. Hannah is someone who invested in her family. Oh, can we not invest more in our family? Hannah is someone who invested in her own faith. How, you say, Pastor, my faith is really weak. Okay, what kind of investing are you doing? If this book's only opened on Sunday, your faith's not going to grow. If you're not trying to ask God to clean out your life and clean out your the hidden things of your heart that only you and God know about, and trying to come clean with God who already knows about it anyway, and asking Him to cleanse you and move on by faith, then your faith isn't going to grow and your walk isn't going to be what God wants it to be. The Christian life is all about victory. Stop living in defeat. Stop living in bad, down and all of that. No, let's advance for the kingdom of Christ. Let's be excited about what God has for us. Let's be excited about the promises of God. Let's be excited about what He has. Well, how does that happen? It happens in when we invest. We invest in our faith. Now, our saving faith, we don't invest in it. But our living faith every day, we've got to invest in it. Our faith will be strong if we invest in it. We invest time in God's Word. If we invest time, as Hannah so wonderfully does here for us, we invest time in prayer. How much time do you give to prayer? Is it a token? If it's a token, then that's what you're going to get out of it. Is prayer just something that comes before meals? I hope it comes before meals, but I hope that's not the only time. Told in 1 Thessalonians to be praying without ceasing. I find that the more you, and I don't pray enough, okay? I've got to invest more time in it. And by the way, don't think prayer is only relegated to a time and a place with other people. You can be all by yourself. You can be all alone. That's all by yourself. I'd say it a different way. Sitting in the bus, sitting in your car, driving down the road. You say, well, it's not Sunday morning at 8:30, so I can't pray yet. No. That's a wonderful time to start talking to the Lord. That's a wonderful time to pour out your heart to the Lord. You're on your way to school. Maybe you walk to school. I encourage you teenagers that go to school, in the public school, Christian school, or home school, doesn't matter which, that before you get into your day, that you pray to the Lord and ask Him to guide you. That you pray to the Lord and ask Him to protect your heart and protect your mind. You see, when we invest in our faith is strong. And as testings come, not anything about us, but when testings come, we can pass the test. Why? Because we've put in the time and our faith is strong. Now, we're not there yet. We've got to keep growing in the Lord. Amen. Hannah invested in her family. Hannah invested in her faith. And because of this, Hannah also invested in her future. In her future. Look at verse number 11 of chapter number 1. At the end of the verse, she told God, I will give him unto the Lord, notice, all the days. All. Hey, let me just encourage you as a husband or as a father or mother today, your children belong to the Lord. Not just when they're in your home. All the days of their life. You know what? One of the greatest things you can do for your children is to pray for them that they will love the Lord, their God, with all their mind, heart, mind, soul, and strength, all their days. Because if a child loves God, a teenager will love God. If a teenager loves God, an adult will love God. Young adult and an adult and a senior. You see what I'm saying? The point is, they belong to the Lord. They do not belong to me. Now I have a high holy responsibility to invest in them, obviously, in the early years and in the adolescent years. And when they're out of my home, I still pray for them. But my investment in them is limited when they're out of the home. And so if you've got children in the home, still, as I do, we've got to continue to invest. But look at that word all. You know, so many times, if we're not careful, our adult children want to do something for God, and they're held back by their parents. I want to encourage you, parents, give your adult children to the Lord. Let them follow God's will for their life. And so we see the future was that she allowed the Lord to have him all the days of his life. Look at verse 22. But Hannah went not up, for she said to her husband, I will not go up till the child be weaned. Then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide how long? Forever. Forever. Oh, what a challenging verse. Chapter 2, verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed and of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah. What do you know? Hannah wasn't able to have a baby. She said, God, give me a son, and I'll give him back to you all the days of his life. She did. And the Lord, so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. She got six kids now. Wasn't able to have one, but you know what? Again, there's a lesson to be learned here to give you an expected end. See, God already knew that the six kids were coming. Samuel plus five, right? God already knew that. Hannah had no clue. But what did she keep doing? She kept investing. Investing in the things that mattered most. When is it ever going to reap benefits? Just keep investing. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about effort, time, prayer, and the work of the Lord. Five kids, five more kids come along. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. See, I wrote down here, Hannah willingly offered her best to the Lord. Her best was Samuel. She offered her best, and the Lord gave her three more sons and two more daughters. You see, God's timing is also part of this. I wrote that down in the margin here. God's timing. Would you go to Romans chapter 12? Very familiar verses. Romans chapter 12. Thank you for listening. We're just about done. Romans chapter 12. Can you imagine? Here's someone that she prayed for, and now she leaves him at their tabernacle. And then it would come around to the yearly trip to the tabernacle, and she would look forward to that and then leave him at the tabernacle once again. And every year that would take place. Romans chapter 12. Here's the commitment that is needed. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God wants us to give all we have and are to him, holding nothing back, fully committed. So we see that in the life of Hannah, she was that. She was fully committed. Look at chapter 2, verse 26. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor, notice, both with the Lord and also with men. Hannah's child, as she prayed so much for. Hannah's child that she invested so much in now is in favor with God and in favor with men. Well, by the way, Samuel was the last judge. Samuel was the first priest and prophet to serve under a king. All the way back to Hannah, though. Barren. Looked down upon. We didn't even talk about the rejection, really, by Peninnah and the persecution, I guess you could say. And yet she kept investing. She poured out her heart. She poured out her soul. She kept investing in her family. She kept investing in her faith. And because of that, what God brought forth from her in the future would be greatly used of God, judging, being a priest, serving the Lord. You see, sometimes we want to see the end result before it's time. And I want to say today that God is doing a greater work than we could ever imagine when we are investing in the things of the Lord. Believe me, God is working in it. I have worshiped in churches and chapels. I have prayed in the busy street. I have sought my God and I have found him where the waves of his ocean beat. I have knelt in the silent forest in the shade of some ancient tree, but the dearest of all my altars was at my mother's knee. The things in my life that are worthy were born in my mother's breast and breathed into mine by the wonder of the love her life expressed. The years that have brought me to manhood have taken her far from me, but memory keeps me from straying too far from my mother's knee. God, make me the man of her vision and purge me of selfishness. God, keep me true to her standards and help me to live to bless. God, hallow the holy impress of the days that used to be and keep me a pilgrim forever to the shrine at my mother's knee. Hannah was a mother who made the right investments. I'd like to encourage you moms that are investing in the things of the Lord for your family, for your faith, and for your future. Don't stop investing. The best thing you can do is pray. Pray for your children, grandchildren. Might I say, regardless of your status in life, God has an expected end for you. And where God wants you to be is in heaven with him for all eternity. Are you ready to meet God? Do you know for sure if you died today, you would be in heaven? Death comes unexpectedly sometimes. Are you ready to die? A lot of people right now are not ready to die. For 15, 16 months, it's been in their face every day. You listen to the radio, I don't recommend it. If you listen to the radio every day on certain radio stations, they will tell you how many people died of a certain virus. Every day, they will tell you. Just in our province. Are you ready to die? I'm so thankful I don't have to fear death, because my Savior already conquered it. Heaven is awaiting me. It can be awaiting you too. You see, Jesus Christ already made the investment, if you want to look at it like that. He died for your sin. His blood was shed to cleanse you from all sin. He was buried. Up from the grave, he arose. So you and I could be saved and have eternal life. Oh, maybe you're a mother listening right now and you're not ready for death. You've never been saved. What a greater day to get saved than Mother's Day 2021? Right now, you can call on the Lord, for whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. Maybe you're a wayward child. You know your mom's praying for you. Why not get saved today? Why not get right with God today? Maybe you're already saved, but you're away from the Lord. Time to come home. Keep investing in the family. Keep investing in your faith. And God will take care of the future.